live from the Tan Talk studios. It's the best in British.
So we try to be sensible at the first of the show, but it fails. Good afternoon and welcome to the Best in British with me, the Duke. And of course, by my side, as always, we have Candice People Real and British Bob. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Good evening, Great Britain.
I'm glad I'm here. Show.
Well, hello.
Hello.
You only just made it, didn't you?
I only just made it. I about got creamed on my way here.
Creamed?
Well, yeah, that's what you would call it if you got smashed in the rear end.
Well, that's true,
well,
yeah.
Well, not the rear creamed. End I'm sitting on, but on. The rear end.
Any other thoughts about this pony or anything else?
Oh, I have such a vision of that, let me tell you.
Does anybody know the size of a Mini? I mean, it's the old Mini, not the new Mini.
Oh, it's the old Mini.
The old Mini, which is even smaller.
Even smaller
even
than
smaller,
the new
Mini? Yeah, with a pony in the back.
With a Mini pony.
The Mini was about seven foot maximum length.
Now, the only thing
and the width as well, you know, you could actually, two shoulders next to each other would do it.
You could lie across, and you'd have to have both doors open. Because you wouldn't be able, your head would be hitting one door and your feet would be hitting the other.
And then there was a Mini pony in the back seat.
Yeah.
I think his head was sitting on the driver's shoulder, is what I
have
think.
No idea.
Snuggling up.
It was also the first car to actually put the engine in the opposite way around.
I thought that was the Volkswagen.
Transverse, you mean?
Well, the Volkswagen, the engine's at the back, of course, but this was in the front, but the engine was sideways rather than vertical.
The technical term is transverse.
That's the word.
Transverse and front-wheel drive.
Not to be confused with trans...
Sexual.
Or
vestite.
Right.
She's on a roll this morning, isn't she? All right, listen. we got to go on with the first song today, and after that we're going to be talking a little bit about Led Zeppelin, which should be interesting. All right, let's get on with the first song. It's the best in British. Thanks for being with us today. And what a great song it is from the 80s from Roxy Music.
From Tampa Bay, it's the best in British.
A golden oldie.
Relate.
Welcome back to the Best in British.
Indeed, indeed. I can't hear myself probably. It's working. Welcome back. It's the Best in British with me, the Duke. And, yeah, so much for Roxy music there. It was actually Peter Frampton. if I had a brain, I'd be dangerous, you know.
I don't know. I know. And that's why I have to ask you, because you were sorting through all our little papers here, and you used an expression I'd never heard before, and that was called cocked up. Explain cocked up. I'm all cocked up. What does that mean?
Cocked up means things have got a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Things are not the way they're supposed to be.
Cocked up. Yeah. Cocked up. Oh, God. Oh, my goodness.
She's on a roll this morning. This afternoon,
I should say. I have to say hi to Penny, and I have to say hi to Bob. And neither of you, Bob. I say hi to you all the time.
So that's not nice, is it?
Well, yeah, I say hi to you all the time.
Now become a program of dedications, I note.
Well, at least you know you got a couple listeners out there.
That's true. Two listeners at least. I actually think there may be four, but I'm not going to go too.
They could call in 441-3000 and say, "Hey, I'm listening."
Amazes all.
That'd be cool,
wouldn't it?
Oh, look at the phone board lighting up.
All kinds of noises going on here. All right. What am I doing? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, we'll just briefly talk about the budget.
Yeah.
The budget. Now, it's something they don't use in this
big
country.
Big famous thing, Candice, is that every year House to Parliament all rise and they listen to the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Put your teeth in.
make changes in the budget, which usually is tax reforms, or they might put taxes up on cigarettes, drink, this sort of thing.
Listen to the way we've actually got a clip from this year's budget. Just the first bit. Just listen to it, because to me it's comical. I'm no British and I should support Britain, and I very much do support Britain, as you would, Jan, support America. But
Candace.
Candace.
I'm going to kick him one of these
days. I see double. That's what it is.
Let's
just listen to the beginning, and then we'll talk about this, because I think it's farcical. Here we go.
The Chancellor of the Exchequer. Mr. Deputy Speaker, it is a great honour and privilege to deliver a 10th budget. Honourable members may be aware that the last Chancellor to deliver 10 budgets in a row was Nicholas Vansittart in 1822. And in order to win the House's indulgence to be able to deliver so many budgets, he did, of course, have to agree to abolish income tax.
It's like a bear garden, isn't it? Well, that is true, and it's backwards.
It's all rah, rah, rah,
and really
rah.
What's happened there, the side on the Labour side, which is reading the budget now, will obviously agree with everything. Go, hear, 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 rah, rah.
and the opposite side are going, boo, boo. It doesn't matter how good it is. It's always boo, boo, boo.
Sounds like a football game.
No, do you guys serve drinks at those meetings?
I think they need to, you know.
Sounds like that Wachovia commercial that's been on TV lately with the old bankers disagreeing with everything, so they go ahead and do it.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Ed, for that. That's perfect. All right. So it's time to speak to our friend Gordon from Orlando. Hi, Gordy.
Happy St. Patrick's Day!
Oh, bless him.
I don't know if I'm blessed or not. I can't hear him.
Is it day late and a dollar short? You can't hear him.
No, now all of a sudden. Oh, I heard that.
Oh!
Hey, honey.
Candice is not hearing you, so you got to talk louder.
Hello.
Oh, hey!
Hey.
Hey,
Grumpy. I know someone who's missing you down here.
I know I'm missing you down here, too.
Well, I wasn't talking about me.
Oh! Oh!
You have another fan.
Yeah?
I talked to her this weekend, and she told me she's missing you, and you need to come on down for a visit.
Oh. Can you take a walk.
Can you get in your little hot Mustang and come on down?
Oh, yeah! Oh. Well, I got a kind of a schedule problem right now.
Oh, what?
Well, I've gone back to school.
You have to school?
Yep.
What are you going to learn?
Well, your little sidekick there. What's his name?
Which one?
The old guy.
I guess you're referring to me.
He inspired me.
He did? To do what?
Dental hygienist.
Oh, dental hygienist.
Oh, Gordon, well, I'd just love to meet you face to face one day.
I think you will catch on really quick to that if you use him as a model.
Well, the way I look at it, if I got to practice, I'll take my own teeth out.
What
get a
vision
real
is that?
Good look.
What a vision is that?
You still got your own teeth, have you, Gordon, or what?
They're mine. I bought them.
And you're going to keep them, aren't you?
You're darn right.
That's right. Good for you. Oh, honey, are you okay? What? Oh,
there. A bit of stress relief.
What? What are we talking about?
Is Bertha still helping you out there, Big Bertha?
Who's this?
Is Big Bertha still helping you out there?
Well, if you want to call it that.
I mean, she's your caregiver, after all.
I think that's her legal title. I'd like to call her something else.
What is that you
would
Big like
to... Big Fat Heifer!
Oh.
Leave me alone!
Got it.
Leave me alone!
Got it. We got to go. We'll see you next week. You have a great week.
Yeah. And
thanks for being on the show with us once again. You're a star. You really are. Oh, dear. Gordon and Bertha and all the rest of it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, dear. Listen, we're running out of time again. This week in the news, actually, is the guitar magazine from England, or from the UK, should I say, voted Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven as the ultimate guitar solo of all times. Would you believe that? And the anthem actually beats the likes of Guns N' Roses, Jimi Hendrix, and also all sorts of other bands. So it's not just, you know, one or two. So I thought, well, let's play Stairway to Heaven. It makes sense. We're going to play part of it because we don't have enough time. It's a 7-minute-long song. So here we go. Best in British. We'll be right back after this. Heads, getting his knobs in gear. What a great song. Stairway to Heaven voted the best instrumental or the best song from Guitar Magazine. Great. Led Zeppelin, of course, a British band, in case anybody's wondering. Nothing to do with America. Made in Britain. All right. Thank you. Welcome back to the Best in British. We've got 2 minutes before we go to the sports or thereabouts. what we're going to talk about, we'll just very briefly talk about the budget, and then we'll move on to the sports, and then we'll come back to the budget after that, all right?
One of the great revelations of this budget this year, though, and these
revelations is a great word for Bob.
It's a big word for him.
I know.
Absolutely.
Rough and toothless.
Is that the cost of taxing your car, we call it the excise license, like you call a tag or sticker, right?
Right.
Is about £160 a year. Right?
Which is translated
about
to?
$225.
Oh, well, that's right. Not so bad.
Okay.
210, Bob. Why do you say 160?
Well, it's only 30. No, you're reading the wrong bit. If you have a high emission car with pollution, it's going to go to 210.
About $300 a year.
Yeah, and if you've got a decent car which is emitting low elements, then you get
no elements. Sounds very high.
No pollution. Yeah, and therefore, there'll be no excise duty. But you say 210, or I said 160 is now, right?
Right.
You only pay $35 to tag your car every year.
Oh, yes, to renew it. Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is renewing it.
To renew it. Oh, all right.
And we do it every year. And do you know where we put our sticker?
No, not on the front of your shirt that says Polo.
It's amazing, that, wasn't it?
That was cute.
All right. No, we put the sticker on the left-hand side of your windshield.
Well, we used to do that. We used to do that with the emissions.
Yes.
You did.
Well, yeah, we had the sticker in the left-hand corner along with your tag.
Yes. Right. On the plate, though.
No. On the front windshield on the left-hand side is where the sticker used to go.
Okay.
That was for emissions.
Yes. I remember that. They'd come around with a big mirror and peek under your car. I always thought they were trying to look under my skirt.
This is the Best in British Sport Report.
So I never got out of the car.
Britain's sport stories. And here is your host, the Duke.
The show's working well today, well scripted as always. Good afternoon, this is the sport from the Best in British, the sport from the UK. Soccer, the FA Cup semi-final draw pairs Chelsea and Liverpool. Interesting. While West Ham get Charlton or Middlesbrough. So the semi-final coming up, and the final being about 3 weeks' time, I believe. Also, in Scottish football, or Scottish soccer, as you would say here, Celtic moved to within a one victory of the Scottish Premier League title as they disposed of the resilient Livingston. The Hoops are 17 points clear at the top, and now need just to beat second place Hearts at Parkfield on April the 5th to regain the title from the rivals, Rangers and Celtic. Yes, all right. Here's the results for over the weekend from soccer from the Barclays Premiership. Middlesbrough 4, Bolton 3, Aston Villa 0, Fulham 0, Chelsea 2, Manchester City 0, Liverpool 3, Everton 1, Sunderland 0, Blackpool 1, Wigan 1, West Ham 1. And in the Coca-Cola League over the weekend, we have Brighton 1, Luton 1, Cardiff 0, Queen's Park Rangers 0, Crewe 4, Coventry 1, Derby 2, Crystal Palace 1, Ipswich 1, Hull 1, Leeds 0, Stoke 0, and my team Leicester 1, Reading 1. And as a result of that, Reading actually are promoted into the Premiership. Preston 0, Plymouth 0, Sheffield United 3, Southampton 0, Watford 0, Millwall 2, get me tongue twisted, and Wolverhampton 1, Sheffield Wednesday 3. All right, that's the bet on there. Also over the weekend, or it's actually over the past week, is the Rhine... Oh, Daniel, I'm just... as the end
even
of the...
with teeth in.
Oh, did you hear
what
that?
I'm seeing.
Even with teeth in, he says. Bob's getting his own back. Yeah, it was the Commonwealth Games. That's all the countries that are part of the British Commonwealth, namely the likes of Australia, England, India, Canada, New Zealand, South Africa. There's a whole list.
In actual fact, there's 39, and a lot of them we have never heard of. But also, a lot of these got their independence after the Second World War, but for some reason they're still members of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Like we have there the
Tanzania. Tanzania.
It's like Tantalk, but it's not quite the same.
With an ear.
With an ear. Yeah.
That's like Africa, isn't it? Tanzania.
No. South of Australia.
South of Australia. Yeah.
So Australia got the most. It was actually held in Melbourne in Australia. They got a total of 206 medals. And England got a total of 165 and came second. Well. India. Good old India. I love India. I love the food. Oh, they got 70 curry.
I noticed Wales got 6.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad for something the size of
they got a total of
Pinellas
33.
County.
They got a total of 33.
Oh, I'm reading the wrong colour.
That's all right. The others are the gold, silvers, and bronzes.
Yes.
So, but a total of 33 medals. So, very briefly there, the Melbourne Games, the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne. Go on, Jan.
I was just going, it's Candace. Just kind of finally figured out why I couldn't follow along with the script because it's all cocked up.
And it's all cocked up.
You've got the pages.
Is there a 2-drink minimum in there?
Did you put something in my coffee today, Bob? I don't know what the heck's going on.
I give you that
my
little shot.
My pages were backwards.
Cocked up, as you say. A well-known term in England, cocked up.
I'm going to have fun with that one from now on. It's the best.
While the exchequer, the chancellor, was talking, I don't know if you noticed, Candice, you notice his broad accent. I mean, Bob and I, Duke and I, are both British from slightly different areas in Britain, but about 100 miles away apart.
A shear apart,
yeah.
What's our chancellor called?
George Brown. Yeah.
George Brown. Now he comes from Eckyard Thumpland, you know.
He comes up from Yorkshire.
Yorkshire lad. You know, where you went down pit.
That were nothing, lad. That were nothing.
Well,
yeah, we can go on with it. It's going to be multiplied.
Well, the thing is, he's been the Chancellor for years, and he's been in the Labour Party for many, many, many more years. And he still hasn't lost his accent. And you would think he would sort of be a little bit more Queen's English, wouldn't you?
I thought he sounded very Queen's English, actually.
Oh, no, he's a real proper...
Do you think so?
Real proper Eckyard Thump.
Anyway, very briefly, just the budget. Let's go through this before we're running out of time with that. And what have we got? Where's my pages with the budget on? Oh, here we are. Yeah, cigarettes go up by 9p a packet. What's that, about 15p? 15 cents, I should say. They always tax cigarettes in England, the same as they always tax beer and wine. What happened? Wine went up by 4p, which is, what, about 7p, there, about 6p.
Is that a pound, a penance, a penny?
A penny is like, there's 100 pennies to a pound, like there's 100 cents to a dollar.
Okay.
But
right.
Obviously with the exchange rate.
And the big controversy will be, this will be an uproar, right. Absolute uproar. They're only putting a penny on a pint.
Is that a pence?
A pence on the pint.
A pence. Right. A pence on a pint.
Which is
a penny.
It's less than 2 cents, but the point is, it'll be a big issue. Right? Lots of people will give up drinking or cut back just for that penny. It only happened for a day or two.
I've seen that
happen.
And
everyone's going to forget about it.
Or in Bob's case, it wouldn't have any effect whatsoever.
And then the other thing that would happen, you see, is that because a lot of the bars and pubs are owned by the brewers themselves, and when the new stock comes in, that's when the price goes up. So everybody will go down the street looking for the pub that hasn't had the new stock in, so they can drink cheap for a day or two.
Where's the loyalty?
But it's a big issue, but don't forget we're big
beer
drinkers.
Where's the loyalty in that? Where's the loyalty?
Well, in my local town, we had 14 pubs in the space of a quarter of a mile.
I guess you were friends with all of them.
Yeah, but he was as well.
They knew you all well.
14 pubs, yeah. Pubs,
and some of them are literally next door to each other.
Actually,
go from one to the other.
It's funny you say that about pubs. Where I used to live in Leicestershire, there was a small, what we'd call a village, and there were 3 pubs and 1 house.
Right.
3 pubs.
And 1 house. It
and
sounds
house.
Like downtown Wisconsin.
Is that right? Is that the same?
Right.
Unbelievable.
Well, back in my village in Wales, we have 90 homes, 199 population, but we have 2 pubs. And we both got
12
a pool
teeth.
Sounds like there's room for one more.
And there's a pool team in each pub as well.
Okay.
It's amazing how we do it in Britain, though. But our pubs are usually freestanding in the countryside, country houses. And in the towns, they're probably linked all together in one big Victorian block. There we go. So what else happened in the budget, then?
Well, most of it's boring stuff, but, I mean, Gordon Brown says that he wants that he rejects the abolition of the climate change levy, that they're trying to cut back CO2 emissions to a new point.
There's an enlightening point as well here that they gave him free off-peak national bus travel for all pensioners and disabled people from April 200, 2008. Why does he take 2 years to bring it in?
I just wonder, someone that's sort of very close to kicking it, thinking, I'm not going to make this, I'm going to croak it before I get there.
If they're going to give free transportation to the elderly, why on earth don't they start it straight away, or at least start it this April?
Because they're lucky if they can make it to the corner bus stop. Yeah. And if they don't show up, they don't have to worry about it.
All right, very quickly before we have to go on to the next song. Did you know that nearly half of motorists in the UK have no idea how much a litre of gas costs? Now, obviously, historically, we used to dispense in gallons, imperial gallons. Now we dispense in litres. But that's by the by, because apparently the average driver reckons that gas costs around £1.06 a litre. And that's actually 17% more than it actually is, which is around 90p a litre. And this was a survey done by the AA, the Automobile Association.
Is a litre about the same as a gallon?
A litre is about a quarter of a gallon here.
A quarter of a gallon?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can give us
a quarter
idea
of your gallons, but technically the translation of conversion in Britain is 4.55 litres to an imperial gallon.
So it goes on to say that drivers aged between 20 and 29 were the ones that were most aware of the actual price of gas, whereas those over 60, that's you, Bob, had not a clue.
I've got another year to go, yeah.
Another year to go. Just 14%, apparently, of people correctly price the cost of gas, with people in Yorkshire and Humberside having the best knowledge of prices.
Yeah.
I think it'll be
that
the same as Dunedin.
Oh,
you know,
probably so.
They're
oh,
all
yes
tight-fisted people around here, I tell
what
you.
What I can't understand about this, though, I mean, we're assuming they're interviewing drivers. Now, in Britain, we posted our prices very prominently, more than that they do in this country.
Yeah, that's true. It's
and there's
legal
no way you could be driving into the petrol station and not see a sign that says 90 pence a litre.
Apparently, most people just simply fill up.
It depends on how empty my tank is.
Some places don't even have signs.
That's right.
Is that right?
Yes, I was down, I'm trying to remember. I think it was St. Martin when we went on a cruise. And we rented the scooters and we were driving around. We were thinking, you know, we'll see what gas is like. There are no signs. It's like, buy gas here or walk. That's it. I mean, where else are you going to go? You're on an island.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's right.
Interesting.
It's buy it here or walk.
That's, yeah, hey, you pay the price.
That's sometimes how I feel when I'm driving and I'm on empty. I better pull into the next gas station or I'll be walking.
And you have somebody, a little experience this morning. Go on, let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was hard. And I'm sure that probably was a northern person. But what is it? What is it with people who feel like they have to ride right on your bumper no matter what? And here I am coming down alternate 19, beautiful little drive, Edgewater Drive. It's gorgeous, looking at the water. And here's some guy in this big old Jaguar had to be tailgating me so close. When I got into the downtown Clearwater area and the cars in front of me were putting on their brakes, I put on mine. He had to slam on his so hard he went up over the curb. And I just couldn't figure it out. I said, bring it on, buddy. You hit my little button. You're...
Did you give him the finger?
I didn't. I'm a lady. But let me tell you, I really was laughing all the way as I continued watching him in my rearview mirror trying to pick up everything from his floor that had flown off the seat of his car.
It wasn't grumpy body sense, was it?
It could have been.
The reason why we're featuring that particular story on The Best in British, of course, it was a Jaguar.
Yeah, I noticed the reference
Jaguar
to a Jaguar.
Exactly.
It was preferred a automobile of Brits.
That's right. I wasn't naming any names. Yeah, I was kind of being general. But
he's driving a left-hand Jaguar in this country.
Well, he was kind of...
Probably for the first time on the other side of the road.
I think he was trying to sit in the middle. I think he couldn't figure out which side of the seat he should be on because he was kind of leaning over like maybe he should be in the middle of the seat instead of behind the wheel, but he sure wasn't paying attention.
I think that applies to most drivers around here.
Yeah.
You know, you follow drivers, you don't know whether they're going forward, to the left, to the right.
And that's
they
because
don't use
they
the
forget.
What do they call them? Not indicators. What do you call
them? It's a signal.
A signal.
They forget to turn it off, and for the next 3 miles, they're either going to the left or they're going to the right. But you never know because it just keeps going and going, kind of like
I tell you the thing that really drives me crazy. You know, a lot of cars here have, what do you call them again?
Turn signals.
Thank you. Turn signal lights that are red. Now, and they have brake lights that are red.
Yes. Right.
So when the bulb in the car, the lamp fails, and then he's putting on the brakes.
It looks like he's turning.
He looks like he's turning.
No, in Britain.
Yeah. The turn signal flashes.
Well, I know, but if he's intermittently putting his foot on the brake, it could be like he's indicating.
He's
right
telling you to back off, buddy.
To me, should be amber. The light should be amber.
In Britain, that's what they are.
Amber in the front.
Yeah, I know. But not amber. Some cars are amber at the back here, even some American cars, but I don't know. Just my personal belief.
It just like really.
Not as though it makes any difference. I don't use them anyway.
You know, I was very frazzled when I got here.
Very frazzled.
Very close call. I was hoping that the light just before I made my turn would have turned red, so I could have stopped and gotten out of my car.
and just give him a piece of my mind.
I would have. I'm telling you what.
Candice, when you were 16 and you first took your driving test, I guess.
21.
Oh, you're a late starter, but you're late.
Yes, honey, but look how I've grown up.
She's certainly blossomed, doesn't she?
Yes.
Did you have to learn hand signals?
Of course.
All right.
Yes.
You did?
No one
uses them now, do they?
they probably should.
That's the only reason, to give them your finger.
Yes, but can you see someone like, say, from the northern, our northern neighbors come down and visit and they forget to turn their blinker off and there they are with their arm out the window signaling that right or left turn for blocks and blocks?
Or they're doing 20 miles an hour with like a line of traffic so long behind them.
That's what I said. One day I'm going to move up north and drive slow in the left lane with my left blinker on.
You got that. Right, honey, and I'm right there behind you. My bumper sticker's going to say it.
All right, listen, you listen to the best in British, folks. You know, this whole show is sponsored by the Quickeners, and we've not mentioned that once yet. So let's just mention very briefly before we go on to the next song, and then we'll talk about the Quickeners stuff. Quickeners is a sponsor of the show. They're located on the corner of Curlew and Alternate 19. It's a great place to go. It's open from 11:30 every day. It's all home-cooked food, entertainment at night, full liquor bar. What more could you ask for? We'll be talking more about that straight after the next break. So from me for a moment, we'll see you, and we'll go on for the next song.
Oh, can't you see? Love
Welcome back to the Best in British.
The show today is sponsored by the incredible Cricketers Pub and Restaurant. It is indeed the perfect place to be. Welcome back. Of course, this is the Best in British, and a song from Roxy Music there called Love is the Drug. Don't forget, it's 80s showdown at the Cricketers every Friday, where you'll hear more of the songs that you just heard. And you'll be hosted by, or it will be hosted by me, of course, the Duke. So come on down. Starts at 9 p.m. It's going to be a great night. And it's the 80s show, because 80 cent shooters, 80 cent draft beers. What more could you ask?
And on Thursday we have ladies' night.
Yes,
Candish,
we do.
Much like that. All drinks for ladies, well drinks and so forth, of beers, $1.50 only.
That's wonderful.
That's preceded by some dinner music with John Walsh, who does a nice solo guitarist.
Actually, the half price, Bob.
Oh, it's gone back to half price now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, okay.
Oops.
Keep changing the policies. And on Saturday, of course, we have disco music again with a sensational new DJ.
No, what?
Do we on Saturdays?
Do we?
Yes, indeed, don't we?
No.
I think he's in the British right place.
Bob.
Yes, hello. Saturdays is Greg Lee and his marvellous associate.
I knew we
Laura
had music.
Duncan sings.
Bless his sock.
Music every Thursday, Friday and Saturday. I beg your pardon.
Yes.
It's
Bob,
jazz, bluegrass and blues
every other
on
Tuesday.
Saturday.
And every other Tuesday.
What's happening on Tuesday, Bob?
Oh, Tuesday's is bluegrass, right? That's tomorrow, and that's with the bluegrass adjustment. Originally hailing from the Tennessee and Kentucky.
Someone asked me if I was on Loopy Jews, and I think the question ought to go over there to you. And I had asked what Loopy Jews was.
It's a foregone answer, isn't it? We know it is.
I had asked what Loopy Jews was.
Bob, will you stop doing that on there, please?
Come and have a good cracking week with music down at the Cricketers. 9 o'clock on Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
There you go. You got that bit right.
Oh, yes.
Not only that, of course, every day from 11.30 every day, which is when the Cricketers opens, they have specials right through to 4.30. Prices starting from $3.99 for a lunch. That cannot be bad, can it?
Now, let me ask a question.
Let me ask a question.
Mm. Because Cricketers serves this. Cricketers serves a full English breakfast, which I'm not sure what it is, but it sounds big. How come England or English or Cricketers does not serve a full English dinner or tea? Why is that?
Well, technically we do.
I think
what Candice referring to is what we call a high tea.
A high tea, okay.
Which in Britain would be scones, all right?
With plotty cream
and strawberry jam.
Yes.
Do people come in and order that?
No.
Is it on your menu?
I think actually we've probably had a couple of people in the last decade of us, but generally no.
Okay.
But an interesting question. I mean, a breakfast, I guess,
a full English breakfast
is fairly standard, in as much as that, you know, if you were in England and you went to a hotel and you got up in the morning and it said full English breakfast, you would typically get a sausage, bacon. You would get mushrooms, probably fried tomato. You would get certainly some Heinz baked beans or a variation thereof.
Some fried bread.
Fried bread or toast. And maybe a couple of eggs.
Is fried bread the same as toast?
No. Fried bread is, as it says, it's fried.
Fried.
So a little bit like you put it on a flat top and
so would
and
we
fry
call
it
that French toast if that was us?
No. Okay. We don't mention the word.
No. No,
the
I'm
F
just
word.
Trying
we do
to
not mention
vision.
The F word on this show, all right?
Oh, I've been properly.
Yes.
Okay, now it's tomato.
In fact, when we do French onion soup, we actually say this is
the soup.
Welsh onion soup.
No. Yeah, that's what we say.
I got a beep in my ear. I wasn't even saying it.
We actually say soup from 22 miles across the English Channel soup.
Aha. Uh-huh. Right. Is that what it says on your menu?
In actual fact, the version.
That would be cute.
The version this week actually is a Welsh onion soup, and the difference being is that it's topped with melted cheese. It's really
now,
good.
Talking of soups, our cook there, Jeff, who's an amazing cook. In fact, he'll be doing a special tomorrow for us on a remote we're doing with Brian Cash at the same time, actually. So watch out for that tomorrow. From 12 noon to 1 p.m. It's actually live from the Cricketers, so check that out. But our chef that does all the cooking there, he did this mushroom, and in fact, it was Paul, I take it back, the other chef, did this chicken and mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm. When was that? And I didn't have it?
Oh, I tell you, it was the best soup I've ever tried.
I would have.
You could go into any top class, high class, 7-star restaurant, and I guarantee it would be no better. And it would certainly be at least a tenth of the price.
Now I have to ask another question. Is a tomato or tomato a vegetable or a fruit?
It is a vegetable. No, it's a fruit, isn't it?
It's a fruit because it's got a seed.
Yes.
But it doesn't grow on a tree, it grows on a vine.
Well, it kind of grows on a tree, and it's just a low-down tree.
A tomato tree? I've never heard
of it. Well, it's a vine, isn't it? You know?
I was only actually reading about tomatoes the other day, and actually, in fact, the definition is because it's a seed.
Mm. It has a seed.
If it didn't have a seed, like a potato doesn't have a seed.
But I thought a fruit had a pit, like a peach pit and a plum pit and apple. But then an apple has seeds, doesn't it?
There you go.
Oh, well, see.
There we go. It's a fruit.
You answered your own question.
I guess it's a fruit.
All right. So, don't forget, Cricketers is the perfect place to be. They are located on the corner of Curler Road, Alternate 19. That's behind McDonald's or near the Sheriff's Youth Ranch, whichever way you want to look at it. We're in the Causeway Plaza, which is, in fact, on the way down to Honeymoon Island. So maybe you'd be going down there to have a walk along the beach or, indeed, with the weather the way it is. Who knows, a swim as well. Come on down to the Cricketers after that and be refreshed with a nice pint of English beer, of which we have, something like 8 or 9?
Yeah, about 10 domestics and 10 imports, somewhere around there. Right. It's about 19, 20 beers.
They should come and have a sampler in case they don't know which beer they would like to have.
Yeah, you see, that's the great thing. We have a sampler down there.
Have
which
a little sampler.
You get approximately 1/5 of a pint, in fact, a 20-ounce pint.
And isn't it 5?
Yeah, 5 of them, yeah.
In
sorry,
a cute 4, little
5.
Tray.
But the same price as a pint.
Mm.
And it's a way of exploring all the different tastes of
comes to you in a
British
cute little
beers.
Tray, and you can sip each and decide which one you
it's
like the best.
It's quite cute, actually.
It
I like that.
Cute.
Yeah, it is.
It is
it's not
cute.
A term I would use in England, but certainly here. Cute. Yeah, cute and
it
cool.
Is, it is cute.
All right. Well, I was going to say, yeah, just a little snippet here. This is interesting because we do the ladies' night on a Thursday down at the Cricketers. And in fact, she's away again. Yeah, because she's a lady. Did you know, there's a bit of research done by scientists. I mean, they're always coming up with, reinventing the wheel. But it says the real reason women fall for married men.
Is that a question? What is that a question or
no,
a statement?
No, it is a statement.
Okay.
The real reason women fall for married men.
I think it's because they feel safe, actually.
No, it's...
Is that what it is?
No.
Now, Jan's version. Go on, Jan. Sorry, Candice.
Candice's version is that because probably they have money.
Yeah.
And hopefully a lot of buttered bread in their pocket.
Bread in their pocket.
Right.
That's a term that we use in England.
Lots of bread in their pocket.
Well, you got any bread, mate?
I can understand women falling for money, but why the fact that they're married?
Well, because they can just enjoy what they're doing with the man and not have to have a commitment and go on and live their life and play and be free.
Well,
sure.
Here's the truth. Nothing to do with money, apparently.
We actually do have the truth.
Yeah. The mystery of why women frequently fall for married men has been solved by scientists. It says women may be programmed. It only may. So, I mean, it's not that scientific.
Questionable.
Well, women are questionable anyway. Oh, dear, I've said something now. Women may be programmed to seek men who carry the scent of their wives on their skin.
Oh, excuse me.
What can I say?
Let me talk to those scientists, because there certainly isn't Dr. Ruth or Dr. Phil.
Well, listen, there must be plenty of guys out there who think, I'm married, and I get all these women that seem to be eyeing me up and want to talk to me. The moment I get divorced, no one wants to know.
Do you know what you have just started with
Ed,
that?
Go on.
Most guys have a different scent, though,
Yeah. Do you know what you have just started? How many married men out there are going to run home and grab some blouse or perfume from their wife, rub it all over their body, and hope they're going to attract another woman?
They're going to get in tonight. They're going to rub up and down the wife, and she'll be saying, "What the heck are you doing?" And then go out down the pub and hope to
the
score.
Yeah,
I think it's got more to do with the grass is always green on the other side.
No,
the average married man thinks he's trapped, and the average man that's not married, as you said, Duke, once you're single, it's pretty hard to find a woman. It really
that's
is.
Right, because
maybe it's true.
Women, just like men, really, really don't want to commit to that long term. And so if some guy is already married, he's a safe playmate.
Well, how would people know, Candice, that we're not married? I mean, maybe I picked
because
up your scent.
Because
you're
a lie.
Oh.
Maybe your scent's all over me, but it ain't.
I bet it is.
Okay.
I saw you dancing the other night.
Yeah, out of the karaoke go, by the way, Bob. Did you do your Rod Stewart?
I did my Rod Stewart, and I did also When I'm 64.
Yeah, sort of yeah,
which is not far away.
When
by
you
the
were
way.
64.
Well, it's pretty well time to wrap things up again, folks. But just before we go, let's do the main points of the news. How long we got, Ed? 30 seconds. All right, very quickly then. The main points of the news, if I can find it. 16 mourners are taken to the hospital in Birmingham after part of the house collapses during a funeral wake. And, of course, it was budgets last week and, of course, the Commonwealth Games. And Led Zeppelin, of course, voted the best with their Stairway to Heaven. So lots of other things going on in the week, but from all of us here, really well, it's time to wrap things up. And we'll see you all next week with The Best in British, sponsored by the incredible Cricketers Pub and Restaurant. So from me and Bob and Candice, goodbye.
Good night, Great Britain.
Goodbye. Have a great week.